Hi, and welcome to Write Better Now, a podcast of quick weekly writing tips meant to help you become a better writer.
We're your hosts, and I'm here with New York Times bestselling author Carrie Jones and wife extraordinaire.
And I'm here with copy editor extraordinaire Sean Farrar.
Thank you for joining us.
This episode is called Subordinate Me, Santa Claus, because we're talking all about subordinate clauses, as Sean wished.
Well, you mentioned them the other day.
I know.
You said subordinate clause. I said, look here, one clause is never subordinate.
He's dominant. Know your place. No, he's not really like that.
No. Like
he would not be in this house with me right now.
But that is kind of what started the conversation.
Anyways.
Bringing you all to a special place. Go ahead, though. Because I don't know anything about subordinate clauses.
So subordinate clauses are baby clauses that can't stand all by themselves as complete thoughts. And they demand a certain kind of punctuation or a lack of punctuation, and that often confuses people, right?
Heck yeah.
It's all about the comma, man.
I love commas. I do.
He does. He really loves his comma, as many of us writers do. So, do you want to read the examples?
Yes.
All right, so here are two examples. Example one.
If I can find Santa, comma, then we go party.
And example number two.
We can go party if Santa ever freaking shows up.
So in both of those sentences, there's a clause that can't stand alone as a complete thought. Sean, will you tell the listeners those clauses?
If I can find Santa.
Clause number one.
Then we can go party.
No, you just confused everyone. What are you doing? You're going off the script, man.
Oh, right there. Sorry. I thought you were asking me, like, challenging me.
No, I write everything down so that you don't get confused.
Rewind.
But apparently,
I told you I know nothing about subordinate clauses or insubordinate clauses, which these apparently are.
You're the only insubordinate one here. All right, so again, our sentences were, if I can find Santa, comma, then we can go party. Sentence number one. Sentence number two, we can go party if Santa ever freaking shows up. So the clauses in both of those sentences that could not stand alone as a complete thought are,
if I can find Santa.
That's clause number one. And clause number two is,
if Santa ever freaking shows up.
Right? They can't stand alone. John's staring at them.
Nope, you're right.
All right.
I just had to break it sentences down and read them separately like that.
For clarity, this is all written out at my website, www.carriejonesbooks.blog, if you need to visually see this, because this is hard to do without a visual. And even
it's hard to do with a visual.
Because it's a subordinate clause. So a subordinate clause or a supporting clause is basically this clause that's supporting the show-stopping regular clause, right? Like, I support Sean. These clauses do not get a comma before them if they are at the end of the sentence, right? So in the sentence, we can go party if Santa ever freaking shows up. There's no comma anywhere in that sentence, right?
Is this at the end?
Right. So how do you deal with this, man?
Well, apparently there are words that always lead off these clauses. What I do is go back and do a find / replace in my work or my client's work when I'm copy editing.
I should have read that.
You should have read
I'm
that.
I'm the one who does the copy editing. So, here's a helpful hint for writers. If you include the comma in your find replace search, it makes this way easier. So, if you press in that little place where it's the search bar and you write comma if, that's going to find all the places that you messed up and put that comma before the if of the subordinate clause.
Oh, wow.
And there are these special words that you can look for that make subordinate clauses, right? Like, that are almost always there. And there are these conjunctions. Sean, do you want to read our massive list of conjunctions?
I cannot handle this.
All right.
I don't have to say the commas though, right?
No.
Okay. After, although, as, because, before, even if, even though, if, in order that, once, provided that, rather than, since, so that,
oh my gosh,
then, that, though, unless, until, when, whenever, where, whereas, whether, while, why, for, therefore, hence, consequently, and due to.
That was so long.
I know.
We should have made a rap for that or something, like, or a song.
I was thinking that myself.
Maybe like a show tune or something. You can find all those words again on my blog, because I can't imagine you're all writing it down while listening to this. So, there are also relative pronouns that make the world of the clause even trickier. They are part of relative clauses, but then these overachievers, well, they are part of the subculture called restrictive or non-restrictive clauses.
Really?
Yeah, man. What do you think about that?
I think you're trying to kill me.
It sounds a little naughty. No, there's not that many of those. Ready?
Yes.
Okay.
That, which, who, whom, whichever, whoever, whomever, and whose.
Totally should have wrapped this. So these pronouns start either restrictive clauses or non-restrictive clauses. And restrictive clauses also like to be called essential clauses because they are alpha like that. But also because they are, you guessed it, essential to the sentence's meaning. And they shouldn't be separated by a comma. Right? So when they're essential, here's an example.
Do you enjoy watching Santa Claus employ lots of elves that wear sexy sweaters?
There's no comma before that because the sentence needs to know the qualifier for its meaning, right?
Yes. But,
right, because if you just said, do you enjoy watching Santa Claus employ lots of elves, that wouldn't mean the same thing as employ lots of elves that wear sexy sweaters.
No, it wouldn't. Right.
So, in a non-restrictive clause, you don't have that happen. Here's an example. Ready?
Watching Santa,
comma,
who employs a lot of elves wearing sexy sweaters,
comma,
is pretty freaking awesome.
The end. And that's your tutorial.
That sounds like a SNL clip line or something. Just the way it's laid out with the commas. That's awesome.
That's where my brain goes. So, that's your little baby tutorial about subordinate clauses, which is probably easier to understand if you go look at the website. And our writing tip of the pod in a little one-sentence flush. Would you like to say it, Shankai?
Subordinate the proper things.
Yeah. Subordinate me, baby.
See the proper response smoother than, yes, sir?
Oh, yes, sir.
Wow, nice tone, too.
I'm so glad.
No, that was really good. Dog? Hey, thanks for listening to Write Better Now. These podcasts and more writing tips are on Carrie's website, carriejonesbooks.blog. Please don't forget to like, subscribe, or share this podcast.
There's a donation button over there on my blog. And lots of other content. And honest to goodness, that sounds like such a mama. Honest to goodness, even a dollar inspires us to do a happy dance. So thank you for your support. The music that you hear is made available through the Creative Commons. And
it's a bit of a short track from the fantastic Mr. Ruiz. And this track is Arctic Air off the album Winter Haze. Summer days. So that was a spook. You got weed theme music on our stuff, honey.
All our podcasts.
Road for Spleef.
Hey, and if you like this podcast,
Summer Spleef,
you can listen to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, or Gary Does Poems, or Loving the Strange. Thanks for listening.
The other two are funny. This one's serious.
So serious.